Matthew chapter 14. Our subject today is faith. I'm sure that topic was fully cultivated to some degree significantly last week in your missions conference. But of course, there's always more to learn from the Lord, especially in the topic as deep as faith. And while you're turning to Matthew chapter 14, to a familiar passage of Scripture, where ultimately we're going to read and see Peter walking on the water. We know in the subject of faith, as Christians, believers, followers of Jesus Christ, we know that faith is essential. The Word of God teaches us that, Romans chapter 5, that we are justified by faith and we have access by faith, and it's faith wherein we stand. Faith is not only essential, we know that faith is quantified. Faith is quantified. Jesus talked about the woman having great faith. Abraham is noted in Romans chapter 4 as not being weak in faith. So the implication there is the potential in us humans to be weak in faith. And we find different examples throughout the Word of God of a quantification, how much faith, great faith, little faith. And the amount of faith we know varies from person to person. And even within us, our faith is fluid. Our faith is fluid. The amount of faith, or if you would prefer to think of it as the potency of our faith, changes within us from time to time, from moment to moment. We see an example of that in our scripture this morning. The amount of faith that we have, the potency of it is ever-changing, day-to-day, moment by moment. Five times in the gospel record, Jesus chides his disciples for having little faith. And today we see an example of just how fluid faith can be. We read the Matthew account. We could read also the account from Mark chapter 6, John chapter 6. The previous event in the chronology of the gospel record is Jesus has fed the 5,000, and you know the record, you know the story of these. And Jesus sends his disciples on ahead across the Sea of Galilee. He sends them in the boat on ahead. And we'll begin looking in verses 22 down through 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. He sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, and saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." We know this account, just as you would have learned the B-I-B-L-E, you learned of Peter walking on the water, and you know that his disciples, many, some of them fishermen, and they're used to being on the sea, and they're out some distance out into the midst of the Sea of Galilee there, a rather large lake actually, but the wind is howling, the wind is blowing, the storm comes up, and they've been on the water a while and hadn't made much progress in the fourth watch of the night. And they have gone on at Jesus' bidding. He is not with them physically. And the storm comes up, and they're afraid. Jesus appears to them, and he is walking on the water. Wow. Now, they have just seen him take a little sack lunch, a number 8 value meal from McDonald's, if you will, and fed thousands and thousands and thousands of people. A miracle. And now they behold him. He's walking literally on top of the water. A miracle. And he speaks to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And then Peter kind of invites himself to walk on the water. "Lord," I'll paraphrase it, "Lord, if it's you, ask me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." And then in one of the most powerful pictures of faith, Peter throws a leg over the side of the boat. Now, I enjoy fishing. I have a little aluminum boat that I fish from. In fact, I come down here to fish. I come to Plum Orchard Lake just up the road at Mossy. And I enjoy that. Not once have I felt an urge to throw a leg over the side of that boat and walk on top of the water or even the lily pads. But Peter says, in response to Jesus' one word, Jesus says, "Come." Peter says, "Okay, I'm getting out of the boat." And he steps out of the boat and begins to walk on the water. And he had said, "Lord Jesus, bid me come to you." So he's coming, he's moving toward the Lord. Wow, again, wow. It's a big wow that Jesus is walking on the water. And here's another wow. Peter is walking on the water. But then we see in verse 30 that he begins to sink as he looks at the waves. Fear develops and he is sinking. And Peter cries out, "Lord, save me." Now contrast the faith that we see in Peter just a few moments before in verse 28 and 29. We might look at that if we were present and say, he had a bold faith. He had an aggressive faith. He had a positive faith. He had a total trust with a dynamic enthusiasm. "Lord, if that's you, can I come to you? Lord, ask me to come." His faith could have been interpreted by others as showboat, grandstanding, right? I imagine at least one of those disciples thought, "Oh, Peter, again? Really? Are you kidding me? It's always about you, isn't it? You always have to be the one." But if they thought that, they were wrong. Because the Lord did say, "Come, come." And the Lord honored Peter's boldness, his faith, with that miracle that Peter is experiencing himself to walk on the water. But then something happens that completely changes the scenario. And Peter begins to sink. As he cries out, Jesus grabs him. And grabs him and asks him a probing question. "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Why did you doubt me, Peter? You of little faith. Little faith? Are you kidding me? He just stepped out of the boat. He just walked across the water. There was no little faith about that, but something happened between verse 29 and in verse 30 that made the change. What was it? What was it that turned great faith into little faith in just a few moments? Of course, we see the answer. The Word of God is clear. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And our message today is to beware of the fear that weakens our faith. Beware of the fear that weakens our faith. Recognizing that faith is not at a constant in our lives. That we must be on guard, that it is not waning and weakening, but that it should be increasing, strengthening, and enlarging all the time. And fear is the great corrosive to faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the inhibitor of faith. Fear is one of Satan's go-to weapons aimed at our faith. And let's consider how fear manifests itself against our faith. It could be in the fear of circumstances. The fear of circumstances. We see that in verse 30. Peter's walking on the water. The miracle is underway. And verse 30 begins with a word that many times ought to draw our attention in the Word of God. But things were going great. Faith is on display. The power of God is evident. But something changes there. When he saw the wind boisterous, his circumstances now captured his attention. Just a moment before, Jesus has appeared to these men in the little boat. And where is their attention fixed? Who is that? What is that? Oh my, is that some kind of ghost? Is that some kind of spirit? Jesus speaks to them, assures them, it's me. Don't be afraid, it's me. And they're all looking. How's he doing that? He's walking on the water. We're in the boat. He's over there. They're watching. They're looking. Peter, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you and I'll come. Tell me to come. The Lord says, come. He steps out. Now where the guys are still watching as Peter makes his way. Jesus in the background. Peter in the foreground. And they're watching. And Peter's watching. This is where I'm headed. He's the one that's called me to come. I'm going to Jesus. Verse 30. But Peter, man, these waves are pretty big. That wind is really howling. And all of a sudden his circumstances grab his attention and fear begins to take hold in his heart. Isn't that a picture of how we find ourselves often? That the Lord calls to us and we respond. Perhaps you made some great commitment to God last week in the missions conference or some other point in your life where you surrendered and said, Lord, I know what you want me to do, and by your grace I will do it. I believe that you will see me through it. And we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Satan cranks up some circumstances around us. Instead of keeping our gaze on the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin to look and say, uh-oh. Oh my, look at that over there. I wonder what's behind me, catching up with me. And we take our focus off of the Lord Jesus. Life sometimes can be very hard, very difficult. And Peter found himself in some unusual, difficult, frightening circumstances. There is no manual for how to recover from after you've been walking on the water and begin to sink. There's no thing you could look up on Wikipedia and find out what he's supposed to do now. No Google would help him. But it was the fear of those difficult circumstances that made Peter forget. That made Peter forget that the very wind that grabbed Peter's attention was under the Lord's control the whole time. Because we see in verse 32, when they get back to the boat, the waves lay down. The waves lay down. The difficult circumstances of life that pull at our attention, grab our focus away from God, they can cause us to forget that God is in control. God is watching over you, and he has not been caught off guard. And the circumstances in your life that bring fear to weaken your faith are in God's control. And we must be reminded that our God wants us to live by faith. Walk by faith, to immerse ourselves in faith. And we strengthen that faith by reminding ourselves of the truths that we've learned, going all the way back to the beginner Sunday school class when we learned the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. And what have we learned in the book that is for us about our circumstances? The circumstance of need often brings great fear. But we have learned from Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The fear of circumstance can always be overcome by a faith that is enlarging, nourished by God's word, reminding ourselves that God has promised to provide in the circumstance of need. Perhaps it's the circumstance of burden that brings the fear. The circumstance of burden that brings fear. Most of you in the room are younger in your walk of life. You have entered adulthood in the not too distant past. Some of us have been on that particular journey for quite some time. But I surmise likely already in your life you have experienced some great burdens, some tragedies, some difficulties. And I want to tell you, as someone who's walked the road maybe 35 years ahead of you, there's more burdens out there. There's more burdens out there. And the circumstance of burden that can bring fear to us, when those arrive, we must remember that our God cares for us. That we cast, as the Bible says, we can cast all our care on Him, knowing that He careth for us. The Lord wants to help you and deliver you through your burden. He may not take it away, but He will give you the strength to carry the burden for His grace and glory. Psalm 116 reads this way, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. In the circumstance of burden and the fear that comes with that, God will sustain us. In the circumstance of suffering, the Bible says the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble, Psalm 9:9. The circumstance of loneliness and rejection, the fear that comes from that, Psalm 118, verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The fear of circumstances can pull our eyes off of Jesus and begin to weaken our faith. Then there's the fear number two of failure, the fear of failure. The Bible says that Peter, he beginning to sink. Oh, just a few moments ago, he's walking in spiritual disobedience to the very laws of physics by the power of God, activated by his faith. But now he's sinking as fear takes over and he beginning to sink. Now, you've probably done this in your mind as I have done. I really am curious what this looked like. Was it like he was on an elevator, you know? Uh-oh. Or did gravity just suddenly take hold and he's splashing and flailing? Or I don't know. I'll find out when I get to heaven. We'll talk about it. We have lots of time. So I don't know what this looked like. But clearly, in Peter's mind, the miracle is over. The miracle is done. And he is sinking into water that is turbulent. He's away from the boat and his buddies are all watching. Failure is all around him. He becomes convinced that drowning is a possibility. Lord, save me, he cries. Peter was afraid of the failure that has suddenly just encompassed him. Fear made Peter forget that Jesus was in control of the whole situation. Of course, he with the other disciples had witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. They'd witnessed Jesus walking on the water. And by the way, he's not sinking. They'd witnessed Jesus saying, come. And Peter himself comes out onto the water. Jesus had given Peter instructions, and Peter was obeying him. He was living trust and obey. But then fear grabbed his attention. Fear weakened his faith in just a moment. God calls us to do specific things in His service that we cannot possibly hope to do without Him. In fact, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And so we step out in obedience and in faith. And fear will grab our attention. The fear of failure. What if I don't do it right? What if I witness to people and they don't respond? What if I try to serve the particular area of ministry and I'm not successful? It doesn't work. It's not happening. We must be careful that we do not evaluate the success of where the Lord puts us on human quantifiers. But it is only in the measure of our obedience and our faith to trust and obey that when we can stand before the Lord and know, Lord, I am doing what you've called me to do, and Lord, I trust you to provide and care and deliver me through. Lord, I know that your will is going to be accomplished in my life if I'll just let you do it. And so, Lord, help me to allow you, please, to do it. You see, there is no failure in obedience to God. No failure. The Bible says in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The Bible says, that little chapter that we learned early on in our life, that he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God is leading us along, and he's not going to lead us astray. God's way is always the best way. And that is a powerful motto to brand into your heart and your conscience, that God's way is always the best way, even when it's not the accepted way, even when it's not the way that is understood by people around you. Paul discussed that in 1 Corinthians 2:5 under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let us not fall into the trap of our charismatic friends, some of whom, it seems to me, preach that you need to have a great faith in faith. And the circular logic of that theology will ultimately spiral downward to failure. We do not have faith in the fact that we have faith. We don't have faith in the fact that our forefathers had faith. Our faith must be focused on the same one that Peter's faith, his great faith, was focused on. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the object of our faith. And we know from the Word of God that He is the finisher of our faith. So we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's how we walk by faith. That's how we live by faith. The circumstances were fearful. The potential for failure was fearful for him. Then thirdly, as we conclude this morning, the fear that weakens our faith. There was a fear that Jesus was not capable in this exact situation. You see, we learn principles and things about God. We've learned the stories from the Word of God. And we've heard the testimonies of the great faithful servants that have preceded us. But Satan tricks us into believing that my particular circumstance is just a little bit unique from theirs. And maybe God doesn't have this exact situation in his repertoire. So Jesus says to Peter, in paraphrase, why did you doubt? What caused Peter to begin to sink? Did Jesus lose some measure of his power in that moment and Peter somehow perceived that? Did nature get an extra boost of energy that somehow overcame Jesus' dominance over nature? Did Peter do something that Jesus was not prepared for? Did the other disciples distract Jesus' attention from Peter? No, there's only one answer. Peter's little faith caused him to sink. The fear that changed Peter's great faith into little faith. He was in new territory. And he feared, maybe he doesn't have this exact situation right this moment. Fear made Peter forget that Jesus had a plan and a purpose for this exact situation the whole time. Jesus did not depart with them in the boat. Isn't that odd anyway? Jesus could have calmed the storm before any of this happened. Jesus could have responded to Peter's request to invite himself out into the water. Jesus could have said, no, Peter, you're not ready for that yet. Your faith's going to have to grow a little bit more before you're really ready to do that. But no, Jesus knew how all this was going to turn out the whole time. Our little faith says, I know I'm saved, but I'm not sure God is going to get me through this particular crisis that I'm in, this particular pain that I'm enduring, this particular struggle that I'm in, this particular conflict. We must come back to where the psalmist lived in 31:15. My times are in thy hands. When we learn the great and wonderful, comforting truths of God, and we only hold them in the abstract, then we miss the true potential and the power of God at work in our lives. But when we come to know personally, God seeing us through with, as we have placed our faith in Him, then those abstract views become part of who we are. Peter had his ups and downs. They're well chronicled in the Word of God and in commentaries that have followed. But there are some things I think Peter, some lessons I believe that he learned. After his denial of the Lord Jesus Christ, I doubt that he ever did that again. The Bible talked about him going out and weeping bitterly. Are we learning from the lessons when our weak faith has gotten us sideways against the will of God? When a crisis comes, when fear comes and causes us to forget these things, it's because we must lay the blame at ourselves, at our own feet. It's because we have not walked daily in the Word and by faith to strengthen our faith, to enlarge our faith. Listen, as a follower of Christ, you're not learning the Word of God to be able to win the debate. Apologetics is good, and you should be able to defend your faith. But the motivation for knowing and learning the Word of God is so that you can have a greater faith to obey God. That it becomes who you are, not just a book that you have achieved some level of knowledge. To become people of greater faith requires that we must become people more of the Word. As the songwriter put it, more about Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. What's your level of faith this morning? Would Jesus say that you have great faith or weak faith? Would Jesus quantify yours as a large faith or a small faith? Are you strengthening your faith and enlarging your faith by feasting on the truths of the Word of God? Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith.